Nature takes back everything from us, even our bodies. And when a few boys went out and trespassed on some land they were not allowed on, they discovered just that. Bella, as she would quickly be known as, was a skull that was found tangled in the trunk of a tree, and still to this day, there is mystery surrounding her case. Today, we talk about Bella and the Witch Elm. Sit down, have a hot cocoa, and let's dive into our 7 days of Christmas and crime. Hey guys, and welcome back to my podcast. I'm your host, Lulu, and today is episode 1 of our 7 days of Christmas and crime. I am so excited to spend a week with you guys. Like, let's sit down and let's just talk. Let's have a good time, have our hot cocoa, and let's celebrate in the most morbid of ways. I hope you guys are ready for this because I am definitely ready for this. We're going to talk about, honestly, one of my favorite cases, Bella in the Witch Elm. Now, really quick, let's talk about the fact that these cases we are covering in this 7 days of Christmas and crime are not 7 days of Christmas type crimes. They are just 7 days straight of crime talk. We're just gonna hang out while we wrap our presents together, and we're just gonna talk about crime. So that's the goal. Let's hang out, let's wrap presents, let's drink hot cocoa, and let's talk about crime the week up to Christmas. Anyways, let's go ahead and jump into Bella in the Witch Elm. Like I said, this is one of my favorite cases. I can't tell you why. I think it's because of just this whole case, everything surrounding it, how she was found, how we still don't know who she is, the thoughts, where other parts of her body were found, the theories. Like, this case just is so crazy to talk about. And I'm so excited to start our 7 days of Christmas and crime with this case. Now, Bella's story, or rather the story of what we know about her, begins on April 18th, 1943. Four boys, whose names were Fred Payne, Tommy Willits, Robert Hart, and Bob Farmer, had decided to climb a witch elm in the Hagley Woods while they were collecting bird eggs in the forest. They had come across this witch elm during their hunt for eggs and had agreed that it was a good place to look for these eggs. It sounds like Bob was the boy who was handed the job to climb the tree in the first place. So Bob happily climbed up this tree to look for these eggs. And while he was there, he looked down the trunk. This tree was hollow. At first, Bob thought he saw an animal skull. Now, obviously, boys being boys, that's cool. I mean, let's be honest, I love bones. I'm a bone collector. I have rabbit skulls over here. I have a deer skull in my house. And it's not like things that I've shot. I've just literally found their skulls and been like, I'm taking these home. So I get that. And when Bob saw this skull, he probably was like, guys, I found something so cool. And he reached down into this hollow part of the tree, grabbed this skull, and pulled it out. Now, when Bob pulled this skull out and looked at it, all four boys came to the conclusion that this was definitely not an animal skull and was actually a human skull looking back at them. This would be known as Bella later down the road. These boys that had found her put her back. They had agreed that they would not breathe a word to anybody because these boys were actually trespassing. They were trespassing on somebody's property. And they were afraid that if they told somebody about this skull and about this person that was in this tree, that they were going to get in trouble because they were not supposed to be there in the first place. Now, here's the thing. We cannot get mad at these boys about this. Especially as a kid, you don't think a lot of that through. You would have to tell somebody that you were already breaking a law and found a body. Whereas sometimes it's easier to just pretend like it never happened. In a kid's mind, at least. And so they all agreed that nobody would talk about it and they would leave her there and hope that one day she would be found by somebody on the property. They didn't want to get in trouble, you guys. But the youngest of the boys, it just ate at him. And his conscience finally got the best of him. And he broke down and decided that he had to tell somebody. And I'm so glad he did. So glad. Because otherwise, I don't even know if we would have found Bella by now. This boy approached his father one day, and he informed him about, one, what they were doing, and two, what they had found. He did make it clear, however, to his father that he was not sure if it was human, and that is what they drew the conclusion to, because it looked like a human skull, but that it could have been an animal. His father, of course, went and informed the police. When the police had this information, they immediately sprung into action, closed the area off, and climbed this witch elm. And that is when it was discovered that these boys were right. This was a human skull, and there was human remains in this tree. They found almost a complete skeleton in this tree, in the hollow part of this tree. The skeleton wore a wedding ring and had a couple strips of clothing left on it. But other than that, it was mostly bones. The skull they had found also had almost a full set of teeth that they were crossing their fingers would make this so easy to identify. Now, because of the state that these remains were found in, like I said, all bones, a little bit of scrap of clothing, they believed that she had to be killed before 1941. And that fact and idea still holds true to this day. That's never changed in this case. They still believe that she was killed before 1941. In her autopsy, she looked to be between 35 and 40 years old at her time of death. And they could tell by the way her hips had moved that she did have at least one child in her life. Obviously, they don't know if this child is still alive or not, but they know that she had at least a child. Now, you guys, this leaves a little bit of hope for Bella, because this could mean that someone, somewhere, is or was missing her. There could be stories of a family member that disappeared that have been passed down. She could have family photos somewhere. Guys, she could even have a bloodline somewhere where one day somebody's gonna, you know, donate some blood and we're gonna finally have a line for Bella. That's if this kid that she had is still alive. They believe that Bella was in that tree for at least 18 months prior to being found, possibly much longer. It is important to note that she did still have rotting flesh on her forehead. She was not just straight bone. She also had some light brown hair still attached to her skull. Sadly, they also concluded that she was still warm when she was placed in the tree. Now, that does not necessarily mean she was still alive, but she was still warm. I'll talk about the reason that they believe this later. We'll get into that. The authorities felt like they could quickly identify Bella due to the fact that her teeth were all pretty much still intact, minus a few missing. They had her skull, belongings, and even an accurate hair color. There are Jane and John Does who have much less information that are identified. They were sure that they were going to identify Bella. But With so many people that had gone missing during the Second World War, this made identification for Bella so much harder. They decided that Bella's best option would be to send her dental records to hundreds of dentists because there was such a distinct dental work that had been done on her teeth. She took really good care of her teeth. But nobody could identify her based off of these records. When they looked a little bit more into this murder and body hiding, it looked almost ritualistic. They believed that it looked very similar to a ritual called the Hand of Glory. Now, the Hand of Glory was usually a dried up and pickled hand of a hanged person. Most of the time, the hand used would be the left hand, because the left hand, as you probably know, was considered evil. Or, if the person that was being hung was being hung for something like murder, they would dry and pickle the hand that was used to carry out the sinister act. A lot of old Europeans believe as well that the ritual Hand of Glory had even more power if it was accompanied by making a candle from the fat of the corpse, lit, and then being placed on the pickled hand. It's also interesting to note that even though they pulled out almost a full skeleton from that tree, she was missing quite a few of her bones. They ended up being able to find most of these bones scattered by animals, it looked like, but they did find one of her arms that was about 13 paces from her skull. This is also part of another ritual. When people thought that somebody was a witch, they would execute said witch and would do this. They would bury the hand and the arm away from her, believing that if she did not have that hand, she could not bring herself back to life. If you think about the Hand of Glory on top of this arm, it does almost seem like they believed Bella was some sort of witch and had executed her for quote-unquote crimes that she could have done with her hand being a witch. Does that make sense? When they were also giving her the autopsy, they analyzed the skull and had found a taffeta wedged in her throat, which then led them to believe that Bella had been asphyxiated. Now, I'm gonna be honest, you guys, I did not know what taffeta was. So I looked it up. Taffeta is a silk fabric. So essentially, she had a wad of fabric that was shoved down her throat. I'm not sure if they could not come up with a definite cause of death, but they do believe that the asphyxiation with this silk fabric had something to do with it. They also noted that her being buried inside of a witch elm is also a very significant point of information. When a witch is using evil magic, they often use a witch elm in their spells, according to the authorities and the people around that area. To me, this is very interesting because it seems like they believe whoever was responsible for what happened to Bella was participating in the Hand of Glory. Like I said, usually when somebody's doing this ritual, they cut the hand of the person off while they're hanging. But if Bella was asphyxiated by a wad of taffeta, this to me doesn't necessarily sound like a ritualistic killing. Unless they did it different, but then how would they do this in the Hand of Glory if it was originally done by hanging? Unless in their opinion it was the same thing, because, you know, hanging and asphyxiating, even though when you hang it is slightly different because your neck usually breaks, but you know what I mean? That to me is kind of weird that that's what they think happened, even though it wasn't really carried out in the correct way. Also, let's get back to the fact that her hand and her arm was buried away from the skull. Like I said, though, a lot of her other body parts were scattered, and they had to find them. So I get which way they're going with this, but honestly, it's kind of like if we go back to the Kipling Davis case, where I feel like when you look too far into one story, that's why you don't get answers, because you become blinded by everything else. I feel like everybody has settled into the fact that Bella was thought to be a witch, and they killed her, did the Hand of Glory so she couldn't come back to life, and stuffed her in a witch elm. Where, to me, you guys, it kind of seems more like Bella was murdered, asphyxiated, for example, and then they wanted to hide her body, and they put her inside of a witch elm. And then, because she's, you know, surrounded by nature, animals picked off of her, pulled her bones up, and buried them just like they did with the rest of her body parts. And it was just a coincidence that it seemed like it was on purpose. Does that make sense? Now, let's talk about the graffiti that showed up. Only about 6 months after she was found, a ton of this graffiti began being painted around the town with the phrase, "Who put Bella in the witch elm?" Even to the present day, they are still having more and more of this graffiti show up. And this is actually why she would gain the name Bella. It's important to note that the police did not originally name her Bella. She is unknown, guys. She is a Jane Doe. But she got dubbed Bella in the Witch Elm because of this graffiti showing up. And that's how she got her name. Guys, that is all we know about Bella in the Witch Elm. And here's why. We lost almost all information about her. We lost Bella, you guys. The skull of Bella that used to be in the forensic lab got moved. It got moved to a new home. But this new home was supposed to be at a police force. During this move, though, when pretty much the package showed up at its new home, the skull was gone. You guys, Bella was gone. She just disappeared. There are no exhibits that could hold Bella. We can find no documentation about Bella. We can't find anything about her case because somehow the West Midland police that were in charge of her remains and information about the case lost it. They lost it all. Everything, including Bella. We still to this day do not know where Bella is. I don't understand how that's possible. To just have a whole body and all of her information disappear, you guys. In the more recent years, a woman named Carolina Wickinson, however, decided that she was going to rebuild the face of Bella. There were some royal remains that were found that did resemble some of Bella's, because we had photos of Bella's face still, but we did not have the actual skull. That's what they can go off of. It's not even Bella's actual skull they went off of. It's not even her face. But they're hoping that someone somewhere is going to see this reconstruction of Bella and recognize her from maybe some old family albums or something. But honestly, you guys, we lost Bella. Like, what? They had one job. This is like one of those things that like really frustrates me in cases. How do you lose an entire body? How? Now let's really quickly, for fun, dip our toe in the fact that maybe Bella was a witch. Like I said, they oftentimes cut the hand off or the arm with it and buried it away from the body so that the witch could not come back to life. She could not use her magic to reanimate herself into our world. Let's say Bella was a witch. Let's say they killed her, she was an evil witch, they did all this and got rid of her, right? Moved on with their lives. But when we pulled that skull and body out, we paired Bella back with her hand. and therefore Bella was able to use her evil magic and reanimate herself into our world, and Bella's walking around with us alive because she's a witch. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it's kind of a fun little thing to think about, where they did bury this hand away, they did say that they did that to witches so they couldn't come back to life, and then her body, entire ass body, just disappears. So that's, you know, something interesting to think about. But like I said, that's all we know about Bella. We know how she was found, to a point. We know a little bit about the Hand of Glory, the arm, but that's it. Everything else literally gone, deleted. They've had to start over without even having Bella. That's impossible to do. Because we don't have anything else about Bella, let's talk a little bit about the theories of who Bella was. One of these theories was that she is a woman that got sucked into the wartime incidences that surrounded witches and evil magic a little over 75 years ago. Either that, or she was a Nazi spy that got caught and was being punished. I really wanted to put a thing in here that a lot of people refer to evil magic as black magic. That is not entirely true. I just want to make that clear for you. There is light magic, there is dark magic or black magic, and then there is evil magic. That's kind of just when you do the magic. People who use dark magic, for example, oftentimes do their spells and other things like that at night, versus the people who do light magic are a little more, they like the sun a little more, like the nighttime, the brightness. Evil magic, though, is when you dip your toe into things like taking things from people, taking, you know, their willpower away, killing people, curses, like bad curses, things like that. That's more of the evil magic side versus the dark magic and light magic. So that's just people not necessarily being educated in those types of fields. So anytime I talk about evil magic, I'm going to refer to it as evil magic. It's not black magic or dark magic, because that is magic done just at nighttime. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. Another possibility the police brought up was in 1953. The police claimed that a woman came forward claiming that her ex-husband, Jack Massop, had confessed to multiple people, including almost every single one of his family members, that he and a random man had put a woman in the trees years prior. These men, according to this ex-wife, had met up for a drink at a pub. And while drinking that night, Jack said that a woman stumbled into the bar drunk. It sounds like they decided to pick this woman up, and while they were driving somewhere, she ended up passing out in their vehicle. They thought it would be funny to put her unconscious body in a random hollow tree, and they felt like she was going to wake up and realize that she was not being the smartest and be able to climb out of the tree and be fine the next morning. But this does not explain the fabric in her throat or the severed and separated hand, if that even has something to do with it and wasn't animals. I'm not sure how much I believe this theory. I did want to put in here, since we didn't talk earlier yet, about the fact that they talked about putting her in when she was just unconscious. Now, they said that the way Bella's body was positioned in that tree, she had to have been awake/warm, even if she was dead, just warm, to fit. Once rigor mortis would have set in, they could not have gotten Bella in that tree because she would have been too stiff to fit in the tree. Does that make sense? So it does sort of match the fact that she was unconscious if they put her in the tree at the time. Let's also talk about the fact, though, that before they ended up finding Bella in that witch elm, Jack actually ended up going to the hospital and told mental staff that he was having reoccurring nightmares of a woman who was staring back at him from a tree and ended up dying that day before she was found. Now, because of this, they were unable to question him when his wife came forward to the police and informed them. Let's talk about another theory. The next, we talked about a little bit, was the witchcraft theory. Some of them believe that a couple of gypsies during an occult ritual had killed a witch, or what they believed or who they believed to be a witch. This is where the Hand of Glory idea comes into play, and not that some animal just somehow picked it up and buried it somewhere else. Because of this idea, and because a lot of locals believe that this is what happened, it has led law enforcement to lean more towards this idea as well. Law enforcement also believe that they can link another murder that felt very ritualistic to this murder, the murder of Charles Walton. We'll have to cover that on another day because we're not going to talk very much about Charles Walton today. Then, in 2014, a radio station had covered and talked about this case as well. They had brought up a couple of people that they believed Bella could be. One of them was a sex worker. In 1944, a sex worker had called the police and reported one of her co-workers, another sex worker, whose name was Bella. This co-worker, Bella, had disappeared almost 3 years ago at this point. I understand this theory. It is a bit weird to me that this co-worker would have waited 3 years to contact the police about her fellow co-worker. And I do know that when sex workers work together, they often really look out for each other because it is such a scary field. So I'm not sure why, if they were co-workers and friends, why she would have waited 3 years to call the police and inform them that her friend had gone missing. I'm not saying that Bella couldn't be the missing sex worker, but to me that is a bit suspicious. 3 years to report her seems like a long time. Other than that, there is no proof that Bella in the Witch Elm was a prostitute. You guys, these theories keep going on and on because nobody knows who Bella is. I don't know if we ever are going to find out who Bella is. It really makes you think about this whole investigation, and it makes you wonder how they lost an entire body, all the files and everything surrounding Bella. Do you believe in any of those theories we talked about? What if she was just murdered and put in that tree to hide? What if it was an officer? An officer who worked on the Bella case and who disposed of her body in a different spot because his previous hiding place wasn't good enough and destroyed everything about her? Or what if Bella was a witch who was put in the Witch Elm and her hand was separated from her body so that she could never come back to life and continue her evil magic here? It really makes you think. Did we lose Bella? Or did we give Bella the chance to relive her life again? There may be false or misleading information throughout this podcast. All facts have been researched to the best of my abilities, but accidents do happen. If this is a story you are interested in knowing more about, I highly recommend doing your own research. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.